Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, I'm Tanya the Communication Doctor, and welcome to Real Stories. I just want to say, I come from a family where people didn't always speak their truth. And I think it's so important to speak their truth. And every day I meet people who, because of society, are just walking with that facade because they feel that it is the way to be. And in Real Stories, I want people to know the real story behind the facade. And that is why I do what I do. Hello, this is Real Stories, and I am your host, Tanya the Communication Doctor. And today on my show, I'm really excited because I have Jennifer Cochran, who is a LinkedIn trainer, and she's calling all the way from Devon. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, Tanya. Thanks for having me on today.
It's really lovely. It's really lovely to have you on. It's really lovely to speak to you, especially in this current time. And I just want to say to everybody, this interview today is actually being done during lockdown, during the whole coronavirus. And we will be talking about that at some point today. But I just want to say that because a lot of my other interviews have aired and they were basically recorded a lot earlier than this time. So, Jennifer, you're a LinkedIn trainer, and I'd like to learn a little bit more about what that is. Tell us a little bit about what you do as a LinkedIn trainer.
Okay, so I kind of work in three ways. The first is one-to-one training with individuals, usually in person, but I'm doing a lot of like Zoom and Skype training now. The second way is I do in-house group workshops. So I go into companies and mainly I'm helping the staff embrace LinkedIn and how to be visible to represent what they're doing and their company. And then the last way I work is I have an online program, which is called LinkedIn Profile Success. So it's split into, it's an online course, which really goes into detail as to how to get your profile working for you. And then at the end, you have a Zoom strategy session with me to talk everything through and then figure out what is the best communication strategy, content strategy, connection strategy. So ultimately, I think I help people to figure out what's the best way for them to use LinkedIn. I don't believe there's like a one size fits all. So in my strategy sessions, I just explore people's personalities and their goals. And then we work around that and figure out what's the best way for them to use LinkedIn.
Interesting. And I want to ask, why LinkedIn? Why not Facebook? Why not Instagram? Why, what about LinkedIn has drawn you to be a LinkedIn trainer?
Yeah, I'll be honest, when I first started my business, it was 3 years ago, I actually was a Facebook trainer. I was an accredited trainer with their She Means Business campaign. Oh. I also trained on Instagram and Twitter, but deep down in my heart, I knew that LinkedIn was my love. And I've always loved it, from using it as an employee to now using it as a business owner. And I think the main reason I love it more than the others is it's just a bit more professional. So the content shared, it's really good quality. There's less trolling and kind of spammy stuff on LinkedIn. And it's a bit more to the point. I'm not a very visual person, so even though I'm on Instagram, I'm more about the words. I studied English at university, so I love writing, and LinkedIn just suits my personality, really, I think. I mean, Twitter's a close second, but I did feel a bit of a fraud when I was a Facebook and Instagram trainer. Even though I'm in some great Facebook groups, don't get me wrong, I don't know, I've always felt way more comfortable on LinkedIn, and the people on LinkedIn are more my type of people, if that makes sense.
You know what, that's interesting how you've just related your personality to it, because I think I love LinkedIn as well, and Facebook I've not got on with as much, but yeah, it is interesting how you're drawn to different social media networks. So I do find that fascinating how you said that you feel more comfortable with LinkedIn and the trolling and stuff. It just makes me think a little bit more openly about that as a platform. So I want to ask you, because you give me a little bit of an insight saying that you loved writing and, you know, English was something you trained in. So yeah. What was your career before you were on LinkedIn trainer? What's your career before?
Okay, it's been a bit varied. So I studied English and French at university, and then when I graduated, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I knew I didn't want to be a teacher at that point in time, and I didn't want to be a journalist. So it's a bit ironic that I do teach and I'm also always writing online. But I kind of fell into the world of temping and started doing admin, to be honest. And it suited my personality as an introvert. I'm always quite happy to help others to shine in the spotlight. So back in Ireland, over in Dublin, I worked as an editor's assistant on a technology magazine, and I really loved that. Okay. Being young, I was keen to travel though. So I went to Australia for a year and did a few various admin kind of things over there. So I was at PA, reception. And then when I came back after a year back to Dublin, I just wanted to travel again. So I decided I'd give London a shot. So came over to London, wanted to get back into publishing, like the editor's assistant role, but I just wasn't able to break into publishing at all. So I redesigned myself, rebranded myself as a kind of a high level personal assistant / executive assistant. And that's what I did really before I was a LinkedIn trainer. I did that for about 15 years. And my last role was in financial services. I was there for about 11 years. And I did enjoy that role for a long time, but I reached a stage in it that I started to get a bit fed up of the perception of what a PA is. A lot of people still thought it was, you know, tea and typing, and that's all you're good for, even though I was a graduate and I know many PAs who have got masters and speak, you know, 5-6 languages. Mm. And so I started to get a bit fed up, and indirectly, I was using LinkedIn in my day-to-day role to connect with my peers and my colleagues and suppliers. But when I got fed up with the perception of the PA role, I started to branch out into blogs on LinkedIn and posts, and I started to really champion the cause of the PA and wrote a few articles about, you know, how to network as a PA, how to build a PA network within your company. And I just really wanted to be a brand ambassador for PAs, and started to raise my visibility on LinkedIn. And around that time, I entered my first awards category, and I won the title of the most networked PA in London. I wasn't really doing it for myself. I was doing it to promote the cause of the PAs, really. And I went on to win a national award and a global award. And at that time, LinkedIn and social media was still very much a hobby for me. I had studied it in my own time. I had a few qualifications. I was using it as a voluntary role, but I wasn't using it in my day-to-day other than me personally reaching out to connect with people. And then fast forward a few years, I know this is a bit long-winded, but fast forward a few years, my back went and I slipped a disc. So I had to take 6 months off work. And once my disc was taken out, I had to lie flat on the ground for about 30 days after the surgery. It's a bit like coronavirus, to be honest. It gave me the time to stop and think. And I realized I wasn't really happy in my last role. Even though I enjoyed being a PA and supporting others, being in financial services did not suit my personality. It just was not in tune with my values. And I decided to quit, and I figured, you know what, I'm pretty good at social media, I've won all these awards, I like helping people, and I realized that not everybody was comfortable online with getting their voice out there. So I thought, well, I can help them to embrace it, because it's really worked for me as an introvert, and that's one of the reasons I love social media, is I can actually get my voice in the room. So yeah, I initially started as a PA then, and just ended up as a LinkedIn trainer.
You know what? I love that story. I'm going to go a little bit deeper, because I find it really fascinating that you said that you slipped a disc and it gave you the time to stop, reflect. And every single time I interview somebody and I dip in and I dive in and see what their life is like, there's always something where there has been some kind of tragedy or some kind of injury, myself including as well, where you've had to have that time to transition into another career. And I find that absolutely fascinating. So I want to go a little bit further back into just to get a little bit of an idea about you as a person growing up, because I do feel having the jobs that you've had, you've been very much somebody who has been in service to others. That's how I'm seeing you, because, you know, from somebody, you said you were an introvert, you got into doing the admin role, you got into editing, you got into financial services, and you became a PA. So it sounds like everything you've chosen to do as a career has been to support other people, which means that you are in service, which I think is absolutely beautiful. But I also want to understand where that comes from. So I'm going to dive in a little bit deep and ask you a little bit about your childhood. So could you just tell me, when you were really young, what you wanted to be? Let's say you're about 10, about 10 or 12. What did you want to be when you were younger, about the age of 10 or 12?
I think, around that age, I wasn't quite sure, but I knew I liked writing and I knew I liked English. And I do remember being kind of gifted my first typewriter, one of the old school ones, when I was about 10 at Christmas. Brilliant. And I was a bit of a nerd. I just wanted a pen pal, and I was just like, I really want to write to people. So I posted an ad in one of, I can't remember which magazine, it was actually an English magazine, like Patches or one of those ones. So I posted up an ad saying, I want a pen pal, blah, blah, blah. And I got about, I don't know, 200, 300 letters from all around the world. So other girls around the same age as me. And I was just writing to all these people around the world. So I didn't really know, like, career-wise, I'm going to be hold my hand up. I've never really said, oh, I want to be this or that. I've drifted into things and learned as I've gone along, but I've never been, like, you know, someone who knows 100% for sure that's what I want to do. But I think at that stage, I just wanted to connect with people and write with people, you know, to people, learn their stories. So I had about 200 pen pals, and then I had to kind of whittle it down. This is quite an expensive hobby when you're young, you're that age, buying all the stamps.
Brilliant. No, I think that's brilliant. That's really lovely, actually. And that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense with who you are. And I suppose how the world has evolved now, you know, you don't need a pen pal. You've got Zoom, haven't we? We can connect. connect with everybody all over the world. That's probably why you love LinkedIn. So there's a real connection there, isn't there? Between you being a writer when you were young and loving having pen pals, and now loving connecting people. You said you love the fact that you can write or use your writing to express yourself on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
People are more likely to read that as well, aren't they, than they are on Facebook, Insta, and all that sort of thing. So I find that's really, 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 really fascinating. And I love also the fact you said that you drifted into different things. Yeah. So that gives me also an insight to you as a young person. But is there anything else that you, as a young person, you really enjoy doing?
Oh, God. I'd love to say yes, there was, but there wasn't really. I kind of just was in my own little world, reading and writing. And no, like, even if I go to even my siblings, I don't think any of us really had a clear path. We just knew, you know, do well at school. I knew I wanted to go to uni, but I didn't know what was going to come after uni. And that was it, really.
Lovely, lovely. So was there anybody, like, growing up that inspired you to kind of get into, you know, your first admin role or get into PA? Was there anybody, like, that really inspired you, that you thought, oh my God, I can do this, I can really help other people and I can really push my career further? What's your biggest inspiration there?
I'll be honest, no.
No?
Other people go, yeah, this person. No, I just kind of did my own thing, really. And I'd say the first person who inspired me as an adult, I don't know if you might know her, is Vanessa Valelli. She's the CEO of We Are the City, and I won a coaching course, a free day with her, about how to figure out what your brand was, where you're going with your life. And this was probably close to 10 years ago. And she was the person that encouraged me to study social media and to start blogging. So she really kind of gave me a kick up the backside and really pulled it out of me. What are your values? What do you want? Because I never really thought about it. And I used to think, oh, I'm a nice person, I give to charity. But she was like, well, what about you? Where are you going? You know, what's it all about? And she's the first person that really inspired me and got me thinking about what I could do or what I could be. Whereas before, it was just a case of drifting. I knew my parents wanted me to go to uni, so I went to uni, and then afterwards I was kind of like, what now? So yeah, when I was younger, no inspiration, sorry.
No, that's brilliant. I think that's lovely, actually, because, you know, some people are inspired by their teachers or inspired by various people in their lives, or their mothers or their fathers or that sort of thing. And then sometimes it takes a while, doesn't it, for things to happen, for you to say, okay, Because sometimes we don't know who inspires us in some ways. You may know, but you don't know until something happens and you thought, God, I was really inspired by that. But I love the fact that you mentioned, like you say, that this lady drew you to social media and thinking about how you could have a career. Because I would, that's one of you, I wouldn't even think that, I didn't even know those sorts of careers existed until probably about 3 or 4 years ago when I started getting more involved in social media myself. And that, yeah. I've only kind of really got more involved in social media over the last 3 years. So I do find it fascinating that people do study it. And but it makes sense, because if you that's how you can help other people. So out of all of your clients, who have you really enjoyed working with, and who have you really pushed to a certain level that you'd like to express or talk about?
Wow, because I've got a mix of clients, so I get a lot of individuals, and then workshop wise I've trained at places like London South Bank or London Chamber of Commerce or FSB. Individuals, I think the ones that I love working with are usually educators, so in some way, whether they're a coach or a consultant or a trainer, they're helping other people to get their voice out there. So it would be hard to pick exactly who was my favorite, but I just think I really like working with people who are trying to help other people. So that whether it's educating or helping them in some way progress, they're the ones I really like working with. I've worked with some nice charities. I've done a bit of pro bono work for a homeless charity in London, and I enjoyed working with them, just helping them to get their message out there. So I think it's just really helping people who've got a nice positive message and they want to help people, as opposed to using social media as a selling tool. And yeah, you figure out pretty quick who's going to be able to really get LinkedIn working for them, and so it's the givers, you know. So anytime somebody comes to me and it's a bit of a me approach, I usually avoid them, because I just think they're never really going to get that it's give and take. It's like face-to-face networking, it's about the give and take. And there, you know, some people can just, they just think social media is advertising and it's all about their posts and me, and they're never really going to get the fact that you have to, it's inbound and outbound. It's not all just going to come to you. You have to give something back to your network. So yeah, I do enjoy working with the educators, really. So whether it's colleges or coaches or trainers, because they're usually helping more people.
And that's interesting as well, because I do think, my background is teaching as well, and I do think when you're in that kind of system where you're in working with educational charities, you're in service. So that makes sense with you as well, because you'll be able to see that vibration, which is a totally different vibration to some people, like you say. Yeah. Not all, but some in the corporate world can be very self-centered and very much about themselves. But that's it's almost a different rhythm. It's working at a different rhythm, because I find that myself, just with people, it's working at a different rhythm. Now, how over these past couple of weeks, we've kind of been in quarantine and lockdown for now. I think we're in April now, first week in April. So just from the second week in March, how has that been business-wise for you? What differences have you noticed on LinkedIn, first of all, and how has that affected you?
Okay, I think on LinkedIn, I have noticed a lot more activity, because people are embracing the online a lot more. And when I've been reaching out to connect with people, they've accepted me as a connection way quicker. And when I've been messaging people, they've responded way quicker. Whereas in the past, a lot of people would ignore your messages. Whereas now they're actually taking it for what it is, a message reaching out. So I've found it very positive, and it's been very good in terms of arranging one-to-ones, or things like this today, this podcast, or just chats with people. Because usually in the normal day-to-day before coronavirus, it can take a few weeks to get to book that thing in your diary. Yes. Whereas now people are a lot more flexible. I think you can, if you want to reach out and collaborate with someone or potentially work with them in the future, it's a really good time to reach out and try to get people on the phone or Zoom. And I've noticed most people are free within that week. Some on the same day, some the next day. So I think it's a really good time for opportunities. So I've definitely noticed more people embracing LinkedIn. And then on a personal level, I know it's going to sound really terrible, but I I'm actually adapting quite well to this situation, and you'll understand now because I've told you I'm an introvert. So I'm a bit of a home bird. I used to love traveling when I was younger, but now I'm quite happy where I am in Devon. I love it here. I work a lot on Zoom anyway, so I'm still doing the one-to-ones. I still have my online program. The only difference really is the in-house group workshops, and I've been asked to make a few webinars or record videos for groups. And that suits me and my personality as well. Mm. So work-wise, it's not really massively impacted. I'm probably getting more inquiries, which is good for me. And then personally, I'm just taking it day by day. Obviously, it's a horrible situation. But I think if I was more extroverted, I'd be cracking up a little bit more. I'm personally kind of getting my networking feed because I am having a lot more one-to-one chats with people. I'm chatting a lot more to my family and friends on video. So I can see the positives because usually we're all racing around and it's hard to fit people in. Whereas now I'm actually connecting and communicating a lot more than I ever have. So I'm kind of getting my fix from my family and friends, because my family are all over the world anyway. I don't see them face to face. I've got one brother in New York, I've got one in Vancouver, my sister's in Dublin, I'm in Devon. So I always kind of spoke to them on the phone, but now we're in a family WhatsApp, we're just pinging all day long with kind of jokes and updates from where they are. So I feel quite connected. So yeah, I know it sounds, I'm not thriving in this environment, but I'm actually quite fine. I'm not fazed by it at all. And I'm just taking it day by day. I'm not thinking too far of, you know, like June or July. I'm just day by day, week by week. I think my husband's probably cracking up a little bit more. He's more of a social face-to-face person than me. And I know he's like craving the pub. And then he'll be going straight away. I'll be going straight away to the hairdressers. It's touched up. That's the one thing I'm missing, the hairdressers.
Oh, you know what? I've spoken to so many people as well, and I suppose a lot, I too work online a lot. So when you work online, there isn't much of a difference, is there, really? Because you've already got a network. But I suppose it depends on, I suppose, how old your children are as well, as I suppose, or that sort of thing, the family. It's interesting that your family are all over the world and everything else. So that's obviously a difference. But that's brilliant. I love the way that you're taking it. I love the way that you say, you don't know what's going to happen, to take every single day as it comes. And I think that's really good advice to people out there, because I think people that are ultra planners are probably getting really stressed out because, you know, you can't put some, you can, we can plan a Zoom. Yeah, exactly. And you can plan a webinar, you can plan stuff online. There is still things that you can do, but it's just working a different way, you know. And I suppose it's just having to think differently. And I think that is such great advice when you say, just take every day as it comes, and then we see what happens. So, yeah, that's brilliant. And I think that's a really lovely way to end the show as well. So I just want to say really thank you for coming on. But before I leave you, is there anything else that you want to tell my audience?
Yeah, just reach out and connect with me on LinkedIn if you're listening, if you're a bit intimidated by LinkedIn, if you're scared of it. I've got lots of free resources I'll happily share with you. If you want to take it to another level, I'll happily do a strategy session with you. So just reach out and connect with me. I have a LinkedIn group as well called Networking Tips with My Super Connector, and that's another place where you can just go in and ask me questions. Reach out, connect with me, and I'd love to add you all to my network.
Oh, that's absolutely lovely, and thank you for that, Jennifer. I just want to say, from Tally the Communication Doctor and Jennifer Cochran, adios.
Thank you. Thanks, Tanya.
One of my takeaways from this show was, it is just so interesting that Jennifer went from having pen pals to then being a PA, then Facebook trainer, and now LinkedIn trainer. So she has spent the majority of her life really connecting with people all over the world, from the letter to now social media. And I think it's just important for us as people just to stay connecting. So that's what I take from this show today. Stay connected with everybody, stay connected, keep writing, and keep appreciating everybody. Okay, adios.
One of my takeaways from this show was when Lex talked openly about what he'd gone through, and he referred to Bono's lyrics, "I have spoke with the tongue of an angel, I have held the hand of the devil, it was warm in the night, it was cold as a stone, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for." Those lyrics are really, really, really powerful, and I suppose a lot of us in life are just searching for something better. And I also felt this power of forgiveness as well, in being able to forgive himself for everything that he'd done, and also forgive others and use his work now as a coach to help to understand people, to transform their lives and to kind of bring them into the light with no judgment. I felt that was really powerful. Thanks for listening.